Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kidd Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I know sometimes they have these breaks and it happens. But you know what? I'm always here and I'm always going to try to deliver great episodes when I can, each and every time I can. And I have a very, very, very great show for you guys today. I believe it was, 2 years ago. Wow. Oh, man. Yeah, that's just incredible. When I've been doing this show now for... It's going to be the fourth season, that I've done this show coming up. And it's really incredible to look back at the number of great episodes I've done, the guests I've had on, and the topics we've covered. And one of the topics I covered 2 years ago was episode 28, Warriors Building Warriors, a great episode where I spoke with... Courtney Nunn and his newly upstarted gym, and as well as a gentleman by the name of Justin Ochoa, who is a Warren graduate, Warren alumni, who's doing great things training athletes right now. He's a member of the basketball coaching staff currently and is still doing a lot of great things with his Pace Fitness Academy now being run out of, I believe it's Fishers. And he's doing a lot of great things as well. Both guys are still doing great things training. And I've been wanting to continue this episode with a part two where I take a look at other individuals with Warren ties, Warren football ties, especially, and how they are in the strength conditioning field as well, athletics, exercise, strength conditioning, all in that world right there to really take not just athletes, but individuals of all walks and better themselves. And I have a great one for you guys today. So by all means, let's get to it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here with me today is another fine gentleman, a gentleman that's really trained and built a lot of the Warrior greats from years past. And, you know, he's been wanting, and I've been wanting to have him on a show for quite some time. A gentleman I have a utmost respect for, and that's admiration for everything that he's built for himself and athletes, not just from our field, from Warren, but from athletes all across the state and really across the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program for the very first time, Coach Brian Clark. Coach Clark, how are you doing, man?
Kid, how are you doing, buddy? I'm doing great. This is great to see you here today, and I'm really excited to spend some time with you.
You know what? You hear of people excelling and doing greater things, and you know it's always great to see them do it, but actually coming into a facility like what you have here at D1 Finch Creek is absolutely incredible, man. Like this place right here, and it's just, it looks like you can train a multitude of athletes for various different sports and stuff across a wide spectrum. And you know, you would tell me that you started this up last year. I thought you guys had been going for like 2 years now, but like you started this up in the middle of the pandemic. What was that like for you?
You know, I'll back it up a little bit and thank you for the acknowledgement and compliments regarding D1 Finch Creek. You know, God's been blessing me in so many different ways over the years. You have no idea. And it's always amazing how, you know, you have your plans and he has his.
Yes.
And, you know, stepping out on faith and really just trusting his process has been amazing. And so you talk about even opening up in a pandemic. Obviously, that wasn't what myself and, you know, the other owners were intending to happen. You know what I'm saying? But it really made me get a lot more grounded as to who we really are. you know, at D1 Finch Creek. You know, obviously we train athletes from ages 7 all the way through an adult, and even if you're not an athlete, that's okay, but we train in an athletic environment. But what I really believe, no matter where you're at, what separates you is your relationships with people, and then the content that you're delivering, you know, and are you really adding value to people's lives? So when you look at it, a pandemic here, right, mm-hmm. and people can't be connected. We did some online content through Trainer Row called D1 to U, and we were providing opportunities there. But it was those connections we started making that were very genuine and from the heart from day one.
Yes.
That's allowed us at this point in time, you know, roughly 10 months in, to be in the top rankings of all D1s across the country that are, you know, a year or less. That have been open, you know.
Oh, so D1 is a franchise,
basically. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay,
it,
I was thinking like D1 was like your brainchild and
no,
baby.
No, I'm not that smart. Ha. If anything, I'd be like D1AA. But no, it actually, and I'll tell you, this is interesting. So a few years ago, a good friend of mine, Dave Ballou, gave me a call. He's now at Alabama as their football strength coach, former Avon coach.
Oh, wow.
And I was on the floor at Noblesville training some people, and he called me, and I thought it was regarding a couple of the recruits we had, and I answered the phone there, and he was telling me about an opportunity with good old Coach Kevin Wright down there at IMG Academy. And Coach Wright and I had talked about different opportunities prior to that. But anyway, it was basically going to be the director of all their strength programs down there. And so Coach Ballou was just telling me how great of an opportunity he thinks it is. If he wasn't pursuing his current goals, that's what he'd jump all over. So, you know, went through that process, and, you know, my family and I were really looking into it heavily, and, you know, at the very end, it didn't work out. And now I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what am I going to do here, right? And I had received a voicemail from a gentleman named Tate Odom, who's the majority owner of D1 Finch Creek.
Okay.
Just, hey, coach, you want to get a cup of coffee sometime? Now, come to find out, neither of us like coffee down the road. But, you know, so I'd wait a couple of weeks, and I was up in Chicago at a buddy of mine's wedding. It was a rehearsal dinner night, and we're sitting there, and I checked my voicemail, and I heard this thing. And my first thought was, because Jeff Teague, another former athlete of mine from Pike High School,
yes,
he actually owns the one in D1 Speedway at the factory.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not familiar with
that. Yeah, so I knew, that's only a little bit I knew about D1, but my first impression is, you know, I'm not going into a cookie-cutter gym. You know, and I always use Subway as an example, and I love Subway, by the way. But, you know, if you get a 6-foot meatball sandwich, you know, you got to put 3 meatballs on it. Well, what if one day you only need 1 meatball or need 6 meatballs? You know, whatever it might be.
That.
You know, we want to be able to make sure that we're doing things the right way. And so, long story short, you know, after I got to know the ownership team, you know, how great those guys were, their core values, I looked into really what D1 is. And it's, you know, started by a guy named Will Bartholomew, played at Tennessee, was with the Broncos there for a little bit.
The name does sound familiar.
Yeah,
he was an offensive lineman?
He was a fullback.
Fullback,
in Tennessee.
Okay.
He's about my age there, early 40s, but we still look sexy. you know, he had gotten injured and came back to Tennessee, and really the only place he could train was at Tennessee that had the right blueprint, right?
Okay.
So he started D1 back then, and, you know, what attracted me to, again, was the blueprint. We call it the 5-star, which is, you know, you're doing your dynamic warm-up, you can do a performance, you know, which is linear lateral type movement. You have a strength, you have a conditioning, you have a cool-down core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you want to do. And then, as you know, I got to know just the organization itself. You know, we obviously have a leadership team that puts out content programming for all D1s, but you have your own ownership and autonomy as well, because you get to know your athletes and everybody's different needs, and so with their proficiency level. So the structure's there, the blueprint's perfect, and then, you know, we're able to make it our own here. And so once I saw that, I'm like, you know, this is the place I could really start affecting more people. You know, I've loved, and there's major parts that I miss about the high school strength training world after 21 years.
You know,
the locker rooms, the games, you know, all those things I travel to, and really the more personal relationships, because my role now, you know, I'm not a coach, I'm in the leadership side of it, and so I miss that part. But, you know, for years, and it's flattering, we'd have people always ask me, you know, can you train, you know, the mom or dad, can you train me? Or, you know, what about the little kid here? But my time was so absorbed
in the
high school, yeah, that I couldn't do it. So here, we just get to affect in so many great ways a vaster majority of people. And it's been great to get to know the community members here, and there's just so many outstanding people. And, you know, we got a great staff, obviously, with Shakir Bell and Tamario Morris of, you know, a couple former Warrior greats there. And, you know, coupled with some other, obviously, fantastic coaches as well. So it's been a real blessing. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that we've had our growing pains, things like that, being a startup business. And
that's any business, yeah, especially from the last year or so.
Yeah, and, you know, what's that? The old phrase there, you know, adversity, you know, reveals character. And
yes.
Just in the last couple of weeks, we've had to make some coaching changes, and I knew it was going to happen. I'm calling up Shakir at 11 p.m. two Thursdays ago, and I know he's sleeping because he's got to teach at 5:30 in the morning. like, hey, I need you tomorrow. Here's what's going on. And two of my other coaches. And just the response, right? We get into that E plus R equals L, the event plus response equals outcome, right? That character mentality. The response of our coaches in just times of need to be there for our athletes was remarkable. And I never doubted it for a second, but that goes into the kind of the core value of who we have here and the athletes we have, whether it's that, you know, I call Tamario the kid whisperer now. I mean, what he, and I'll tell you, he'll tell you this too. When we first opened and he was working with a lot of our rookies, you know, he was getting frustrated. It's easy to get frustrated with little kids, right?
I get that.
And now, I mean, I'm telling you, he's a kid whisperer. It's just amazing the things that he does. And
can get them to do.
And can get them to do it and how to manage them the right way and still inspire them and be there for them. And, you know, you'll see, I know I'm going on a tangent here. It's what I do. But when you're in our facility, you're going to see 16 character words on a wall. You know, we use them all the time within our workouts.
What are those character words, if you could run through them real
so
quick?
You'll have words as responsibility, accountability, okay, discipline, honor.
Some huge
dedication.
Ones right there.
Yeah.
Huge words.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that goes back to the E plus R equals O. So the event is, we're shorthanded.
Okay.
The response is, and you know, we're not, just to make it clear, but let's say you're shorthanded. The response is, well, do I have coaches step up? If they can't, the outcome is we can't provide a service for our athletes as well as we'd like to, right?
That excellence.
Here, you know, that response is, hey, we're going to be here. We'll do whatever we need to do for the betterment of the team, the we before me mentality, you know. And so for us, as important as it is for people with their goals, whether athletically or just personal, it's equally as important that that mental side of that character development is in place. Character can be broken down in two different areas. You have performance and moral skills.
Okay.
You know, the trait, you have brown eyes, I have blue eyes. And we're born that way, right?
Yes.
But our intentional responses when we're in it, that adversity, or just general life, is what's going to dictate, you know, the result and the outcome. You know, the other acronym people use is character plus process equals, you know, the results.
I've heard that before. Yeah, CPR. I've definitely heard that before.
So, you know, that's a lot of who we are. You know, our core values come out of the Bible, actually. You know, we look at the lion, the human, the eagle, and the ox, right?
Yes.
So how we break that down is that lion. And this is for our team here when we onboard people, when we do business partnerships.
Okay.
You know, that line, we lead from the front, right?
Yes.
That kind of stuff there. The human, the empathy and perspective portion of it. We have a hashtag that I created at my last stop called WAT, We Are Together, just being there for people and understanding that. The ox, you know, if you ask any elementary kid, go back in Warren Township, say, all right, because I know, I don't know, if the, you know, you go read to the kids, that kind of stuff mm-hmm. there. Hey, what's your favorite animal? No one's going to say the ox.
Very rarely, yes.
Right, you know what I'm saying? It's not the sexy animal. If you look at the ox, it's servant. Doesn't care who gets the credit. It's a strong, beastly animal.
Correct.
But it's going to show up every day, do its job, head down, and make sure that the job is done there. And then for us, you have the eagle, which is, you know, rising above the muck, that excellence in everything that you're doing. And so a lot of this is aligned. You know, I steal, borrow many items from Coach Urban Meyer. Got a great book out there, Above the Line. They talk about different pieces there. But, you know, even him with Jacksonville, you know, on our owner's call the other day, Brian Schottenheimer, their new pass coordinator for the Jaguars.
Wow.
And he was talking, and it was a lot of it I could take right from Urban's past of what he does. But he was even saying, like, you know, it's great that for one of his coaches, you're working on, let's say, your pass game. And your book here, and people are talking about it. So, what have you done for the Jaguars today? What excellence have you had for the Jaguars? So, when he's at Ohio State, you won a national championship. How can we keep getting better? And what that translates into me as a leader with our staff, myself, and our athletes is we start shifting into the metacognitive space.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really turns into is not what can I do, but what am I capable of? And when you get to that stage in your brain, it's a scary space sometimes, right?
I can believe it.
You know, when what am I really capable of doing, and it really challenges you, man, the world just completely opens up. But you have to be disciplined in that. You have to, you know, work at that. And, you know, it's kind of like Michael Jordan back in the day. You know, his goal was never to be the best basketball player. His goal was to see what he could do. What was he capable of doing?
How farther he could go.
Yeah. And so
that's really incredible, Coach. Like that's a whole brand of thought process and this career development for you. And I'm not sure if you had this for as long as I've known you, because I mean, god dang, we've known each other for 15-16 years now. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the beginning, you came to Warren, I believe it was the start of the 2004 season?
It was summer of 2005.
Summer of 2005, okay. So what was it like for you to get to step into that position of a program that had that was pretty good, had won a couple state championships now, but you felt like they could be better?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, it's funny, you always look back, you know, 2005, you know.
It doesn't seem that long.
It doesn't seem that long. That's 15, the nice thing about when you get older, man. Your spirit still stays the same. You think you're still young, but, you know, and I'm 42, and it's like, dang, what's happened over time, right?
My God,
But, no, you know, first of all, it was an incredible opportunity. You know, I remember clear as day, I was in my office, and a future Hall of Fame basketball coach named Larry Boynton was for Pike's basketball coach.
Okay.
And we was sitting there, and you know, Coach Wright had given me a buzz and told me about a few things there, and I got the phone with Coach Wright, and you know, I said to Coach Boynton, whose brother, by the way, Mark, was a I think he was a Hall of Fame golfer at Warren Central back in the 80s. You have to look
really?
That up. Yeah.
Okay, because I know the Warren golf team did win a state championship in the it's one of the first official state championships, I believe, as well.
Yeah, so he probably was a part of that. You know, Larry's dad was a longtime coach. He's from the east side over there.
Okay.
Where he graduated high school. It doesn't matter, but I was like, hey, you know, this is a situation. And I was just afraid to leave kids in relationships, right, that I built at Pike. And he's like, man, he goes, it's Warren Central. Coach Wright, you got great opportunities there to learn, develop yourself, right? And I was also the head baseball coach at Pike that year, too.
Did not know that.
Yeah. You know, we had a great season. And so it was hard for me to leave, again, being younger, because relationships you establish and want to be there for people. And so stepping into Warren Central, you know, I knew of a lot of the successes and past of Warren Central. But that first day, I remember clear as day, the culture, which people abuse that word, you know.
Yes.
To me, I
nowadays,
break it down.
Sure.
Yeah, to me, I break it down. This might be a little silly, but tolerance and expectation to me is like a culture. And I know there's more to it, but just the systematic approach and where everybody was at and all everything like that was really just impressive and unique. And, you know, and I had interned over at Ben Davis High School prior to me being at Pike High School. So I got to see, you know, the west side of things too, you know. So, and the cultures were very different, both effective, you know what I'm saying, at their respective places, but very different. So, you know, early on, it was a lot of me just, you know, mouth shut, eyes and ears open, seeing what needed to be done. And, you know, there were definitely challenges I've had, you know, with different assistant coaches there. Everybody had a thought or advice or an opinion on X, Y, or Z. And for me, I'm very data driven.
Yes.
And I knew our numbers and I knew where we could be. And I also believe sometimes less is more. Because, you know, Warren had won two state championships in a row. So it's that mentality. Okay, how do we keep building? Well, one of the first things I was able to do there was to look at, okay, what have you done really, really well? How can we refine it? What areas haven't you been able to attack? Because at the time, they never had truly a dedicated strength conditioning coach.
Correct.
You know, you had different people, Coach Wright, trying to do the best they could. And he did a fantastic job there. So what else can we bring? So there's a lot of analyzation there. And, you know, our numbers, I have it on my hard drive right there. I could pull up. But let's just say, arbitrarily, they were in the high 70s of clubs that we did at that point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, after 1 year, we were like 104. Then the next year, 136. Then we got up to like 168, you know, because we were attacking
continued
certain
growth,
aspects.
Yes.
Yep. And so
and this was just not in just football, but you attack growth in a lot of other sports as well. I mean, of course, during your time – the track teams were very productive, very productive.
And yeah, I want to say with both boys and girls track, there were five state championships during the time. Obviously, a ton of talent.
Yes. I mean,
there's no doubt about that. You have to have cats there. But, yeah, and that's the thing that I've always taken a lot of pride on. And actually, you know, in the 21 years I was a high school strength coach, I rarely try to even mention football, you know, just because the stereotype, oh, you're just a football guy. It's all you care about.
I get that.
And the furthest thing from the truth, right? And actually, it's a funny story because I actually talked to Coach Hetty the other day. He gave me a call. We're trying to get lunch.
Oh, over at Marion.
Over at Marion now. And so I remember one of the first in that first week, you know, I went down there and introduced myself to Coach Hetty because, you know, at Warren at the time, I call it like the Hawaiian Islands.
Uh-huh.
You got football here, you got track here, you got basketball here. And my whole thing is to make sure we bridge everybody together. So they know that, hey, I'm equally here for everybody as much as I personally can be.
I get that. Smart.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's funny. So Scott Hetty and I obviously have a great relationship to this day, but I'll never forget first year there, I'm there. First game of the season because wholeheartedly and scientifically proven, you can train on game days. Now, you understand, 2005, people weren't as keen to that. But if you remember, even I guess it'd be two football seasons ago, maybe it was Iowa. You start in Illinois. You start seeing these on Saturdays. These guys doing power cleans right before their game.
Okay.
On college game day, they're starting to talk about that. Oh my God, they're lifting before the game. Well, in my mind, I'm like, well, no kidding, because you're activating the central nervous system. You're getting synovial fluid going, which is like an oil lubricant for
probably
your body.
Getting your body ready for what's
getting everything going there. But anyway, back to a game day thing. It's like, you know, if you train at, you know, arbitrarily 60-70% on a game day, and as long as you've been training consistently and you have time of rest before your game, you're going to be perfectly fine. But anyway, my phone rings in the office there at Warren Central, and it says Coach Hetty on it. I'm thinking to myself, all right, shoot, what's wrong? Game day. You know what I mean? We're still getting to know each other. I pick up the phone. Hey, Coach, what's up? He's like, are my guys lifting today? And in my head, I'm like, son of a gun. Here we go. Like, what am I? And he's like, I'm like, yes, Coach, they are. And I was about to get into like the six. He's like, perfect. That's all I need to know. Kick their ass. Hung up the phone. I'm like, here we go. Yeah, I mean, I already had the football piece. We were down. We already knew what we were doing. Now here comes this. And then, you know, Roger Kirkpatrick was a girls coach at the time. And then everything just started to fall into place as people started to, you know, again, relationship, trust, what you're doing and being around and present. And that's also why for 21 years I went home and away every football game. I did it for boys basketball. I try to be as many other events as I could be as well. But, you know, by me putting that equity of time in there, because time equals love, right?
Yes.
It was able to, I would say, expedite the process of relationships.
And as you talk about, you know, how you were able to step in and really help our guys do better, for those people that are listening to the program right now, you know, they would say, well, how effective was Coach Clark? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this. You know, we always generally want to be bigger, faster, stronger than our opponents. Now, I think that's every team should want to be that way. But what you, my friend, were able to do was you took that to a whole nother level. You just talked about strength clubs and how, you know, you breached our numbers. You took our numbers from in the 70s to the hundreds and hundreds to 120s and upwards and upwards. And then how that correlate on the field. I mean, in just a 2-year span of you being hired, we were 29-1. Mm-hmm. And like, that is dominance that really has still not been seen anywhere in big time 5A, 6A level football for that long amount of time. And even then, it continued, and it was just like, man, how did things really get this way for us? Was it hard for you to really get guys at first to originally buy in, or because of the success that we had, they saw you coming in and the results just like, okay, let's go, let's do this? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that great comment there. There's a few different nuggets on that. You know, number one, I can tell you this, the reason why I firmly believe this, we were able to get the traction that I wanted so fast was because of the coaches that were there, mm-hmm. Certain parts of the administration that was involved, and expectations were set of, hey, this is what we do here on the east side.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So when you have that mentality of, hey, we are here to win.
Yes.
And really nothing else, you know what I'm saying, that allows somebody like myself to come in here with this, I hate to call it, different bag of tricks, but different way of doing some things here, mm-hmm. because they understand, especially when Coach Wright was the one bringing me in here saying, this is our guy. That gives me more of a pathway. Now, he just starts the pathway, then it's up to me to kind of navigate the rest of it. But that definitely helped out, you know, because I've been a few other places in great spots. I've loved everywhere I've been. But, you know, if some of those other pieces aren't aligned like they were at Warren from the time I came in, they don't happen nearly as fast. There's definitely a credit to many other adults that were doing the great work before I got there. What was the last part of your question again? Sorry.
Was it hard? Because like,
oh, the buy-in?
Yeah, the buy-in. Yeah. Because like, I know you've done a lot of work with the National Strength Conditioning Association. I believe you say you were vice president for a few years.
No, that was the National High School Strength Coach, the NHSSCA, which is relatively new. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you always mention, you know, you had the numbers. And I remember you telling me some years back how for a year time, maybe it was the end of the 2005 season to 2016 season, we were legitimately, from numbers wise, the strongest team in the nation.
Yeah, I remember that clear as day. Remind me to come back to the buy-in piece here. So what's interesting about that is I remember Bob Kravitz, I believe is the reporter's name for the Star. We'd won our state championship.
Yes.
comes up to me on the field and says, you know, hey, coach, you guys are strong. I don't remember the exact rhetoric, but I gave him some numbers there, and he says, you know, so is it safe to say you're the strongest team in the country? And I was like, I don't have everybody's data. I know what Valdosta High School has, but that's not something. Yeah, in Georgia. But that's not something I would print because of I don't have everything there. Well, sure enough, the next day on the front page was a big article about Warren Central, and then there's a column here. Coach Clark says the strongest team in the country. I'm like, okay. I still know we were, but that wasn't necessarily what I wanted printed. But, yeah, getting other people's data was really, really important. I remember even one of my last years there, I was getting data from, like, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, places our kids were getting some severe interest in, yes, of, like, their freshman numbers. So our guys knew they were above the pack by a large margin. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of data from teams around the country. We did a thing called FaxMax when faxes were there. So it gave us a gradient. But I didn't want them to get comfortable or complacent. So it's like, okay, yeah, you're winning in high school strength, but here's what you're going to go against here in 6 months. You know what I'm saying? So they have that data there. Same like Jewel Hampton, some of those are guys. Give them those nuggets there. Kind of back, though, a little bit to that buy-in. You know, I remember clear as day, this was in the spring. I believe we probably had, there's a dozen plus guys announcing their decision in the auditorium, like around 7:30 in the morning or something.
Okay.
And, you know, I brought our class down there once we got settled in there. And, you know, I remember like Jeremy Finch all of a sudden, you know, sees me in the back and me, hey, coach, what's up? One of those type of things. And it was at that pivotal moment, because I remember even Mr. Burchett said something to me a little bit after that. I think it's when Jeremy, started to, I'll tell you the reason why I don't like the word buy-in here in a minute, but started buying into things. But I rode that guy like no other. No one was getting any special treatment. Because you're an athlete, and if you know, if I care about you, you're going to hear it.
I get that.
You know how it is. When a coach stops talking, they don't care. That's the problem.
Very true.
And, you know, and he wasn't – not that he did anything bad, but a lot of high school kids can be high school kids.
Yes.
Right? And so what I really believe
– 15, 16, 17-year-olds.
Yeah, let's just go into college, 18, 19, 20, 21, same thing, yeah. Right? But what I – it just took time, right? So it probably was 7-8 months in when I felt like, okay, here's when I can really rev things up. Because relationships, you know what I'm saying? But I had to be there. I had to be present. I had to be accountable to what I was saying. You know what I mean? I had all those type pieces there. And kind of going back, I remember early on, and his name was Kyle Ron, I think so it was.
I remember him, yes. Offensive
and
lineman.
Joey Hodges, I could never tire out.
Kyle Ron ended up being the very first winner of the strength conditioning trophy, I believe, that you,
Iron
and, Coach,
Warrior Award,
yes,
yeah.
You and Coach Tutsi put together. Yes, and Joey Hodges, yes, a ball of energy.
Well, so I'll go back to Kyle Ron there. So we were a couple weeks into the school year there, and honestly, I don't remember exactly what was going on. But in the weight room there, you know, Kyle was – put me through he was testing me, let's just put it that way.
Okay.
You know what I mean, of what's going on there. And you know, Coach Wright was their acting football coach and kind of the strength coach there, so they were used to him. So it was this new guy, and so obviously Coach Wright always knows what he's doing, there's just no doubt about it. So
correct.
He set me up for success, but you know, then he intentionally disappeared quite a bit. So as I always said, Daddy wasn't there. So whatever they did in the weight room, I can't remember, I took him down to field house and I was running their kazookies off. And, you know, and we're just a couple weeks in there, but I'm setting a table, and I'm like, we're down the field house there or something. I don't know if it was Kyle or somebody else kind of made a comment. I'm like, do you want me to go get Daddy? There's a reason why Daddy's not down here. But right now I'm your new Daddy, because they're used to seeing Coach Wright. You know what I'm saying?
I get that.
And it was just one of those things that, and you know, when you do those things, you want to, like, all right, as a coach, you're always pushing buttons. Did that work? Did it not work? But they need to know right then there, like, this is the way it's going to go. And if you're not sailing the ship the right way, my job, what I have to do is I'm going to hook my anchor to you and pull your butt where it needs to go so you can be successful. You know, I remember, too, a little tangent here. It was with one of our freshman teams, because I would always train our freshmen Friday night. Mm-hmm. When everybody else is getting the food and all the luxuries, 60 hours in the week, all of a sudden 100 freshmen comes in there. Coach Jordan was tremendous. He'd always come down there. And,
huh.
You know, I love that guy. And, you know, we'd do stuff. And I remember one of our games, and this might have been my second or third year at Warren. And it was national anthem at our home game, and our kids were being kids in the stands, not being very respectful, just blah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to the next week, and we started warming up in the weight room and said, hey, head downstairs. And we conditioned, and we conditioned, and we sang the national anthem probably 20-some times, really loud, for respect, the oath piece. So that same game day, man, I look over, our boys were standing up there. You know, and I know nowadays, I sit down, I don't care what your demeanor is, but they were singing that national anthem with pride. because they knew you know, you just got to be respectful. We're not, you know,
you didn't have no more problems for that group.
Didn't have any more problems with that group right there. But anyway, so many great memories. You know, Warren was a very special time for me. Even to this day, I got so many great relationships with the athletes, and a couple of them work here, and I stay in contact.
Indeed, and you know, you talked about Jeremy and of course Virginia Tech was well with Darren Evans. Mm-hmm. You know, I've listed those two. I did a top 50 show a few years ago, almost 2 years ago now, and I had those two listed as probably the two greatest players in our program's history. Mm-hmm. And with you have doing so much work with them extensively, behind the scenes, off the field, what would you say to people that said, oh, well, how can a guy like Jeremy Finch, you know, he's just a defensive player, how could he be, you know, the greatest player and possibly on your list over a guy like a Darren Evans or a Jeff George perhaps, or even David Bell nowadays? Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say to people that, you know, you saw these two guys, so when I say they're two of the best, what would you say to them to like reaffirm where I'm coming from?
You know, I honestly, I've never given too much thought like who what the best person is. I think that kind of gets into like the Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant type. So for me, I don't have rankings in that regard. You know, but what I can speak to though with both of those guys, and they were explicitly different. For yes. me, in the weight room with different pieces, explicitly different, you know, but like with Jeremy, I mean, his vision, the things he could do and see, like a chess match, it was so much, like earlier today, we met with Dr. LaPlaca.
Yes.
The sports
Your sports vision, vision guy. Aries vision,
yes. Yep, right here in D1, Finch Creek. And what he does is he trains you so you see the game at a lot slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeremy had an unbelievable way about doing those things. And he also had an unbelievable way to be a great leader when he wanted to, just like anybody else, you know, to get guys to do what needed to be done. You know, Darren was always very quiet in our training sessions. Mm-hmm. I know the outside part of him, he's probably a little bit more squirrely, but that's how everybody can be, right? but he was a little bit more meticulous in his training of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Of really dialing in, of knowing, okay, I need to get these numbers here. I need to make sure my mobility is X, Y, or Z. And I remember with him, I did it with Jewel too. When her senior seasons were over, we really worked on their 10-yard start. Not a 40. I mean, that's just a metric out there, that 10-yard start. And I think Darren and many of those running backs did a good job of their timing and seeing it and those bursts coming out of it, because you got to make sure that block's there, the hole's there, how you reinteract. So, you know, both of them were different. But they had a mindset with the game that's really hard to match.
I get
if that.
That
makes sense to
yes,
you.
Yes, it does. It does. I know you're a busy man, Coach. I'm loving what you got going on here. Wish you nothing but success and everything. Appreciate you having me out here, man. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Appreciate being on the show about us.
That's no problem. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Brian Clark, once again, D1 Finch Creek.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving on here. We're still out here at D1, the Finch Creek location. And I have with me two Warrior Legends, guys I have a great respect for. Top 50, top 15 player of all time in program history, Shakir Bell, running back legend. And as well as a guy, defensive player, linebacker. If I would have did an all-decade team for the 2000s, this guy would have been right there. Legendary, Tamario Morris. Tamario and Shakir, welcome back to the show. I think Shakir, you've been on a couple times before. Tomorrow's maybe the first time you've had on.
Yeah, it'd be my first time. Thanks for having me.
First time, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's talk about how you guys really got here to this location, training athletes and what you guys have been able to start doing to help other athletes get better and improve themselves.
Absolutely. Mario, you can start.
Back in the around almost seems like now about 2 years ago, I was doing contracting work and doing landscaping work.
Okay.
But I've been doing side training for probably about like 9 years now.
All right.
And I've always kept in communication with Brian Clark, which is the GM here at D1.
Yes.
Brian used to be our strength coach, my strength coach, mm-hmm. at Warren Central back in the heyday. So just him always giving me some little tips here and there when he see my videos. He looked out, you know, and said, I might be at a location coming up here in about a year. Keep ready. And so when time came, he gave me the call, called me up to the major leagues, so to speak. I
Awesome. Training here. Awesome. So now, and I just spoke with him. We just, and he spoke very highly of you. He said one thing that, you know, he now calls you the Kid Whisperer. Talk to me about that, because I just watched you do a little training session out here with a little guy. I was like, man, this dude's out here working these kids, man. How's it really? Tell me about that.
So this was like the evolution of that name, man. It came because when we first opened up, you know, we do class settings here as well as personal training.
How big can a class usually get for you?
It just depends, because sometimes we combine classes and we have two coaches to handle the different levels. We have three different basically classes for our scholastics or our children here.
Gotcha.
So we have the prep class, which is the high schoolers age, the Devo or developmental group, which is the middle schoolers, and then the rookies, which is basically like the elementary school kids as young as 5, sometimes 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so those classes were kind of big. Where they're still big, and they were bigger when we first started. And, you know, at that point, it's not like it's a daycare, but the kids kind of want to play around. So it was frustrating, you know, to having to redirect the kids and everything like that. And to be working in a productive manner was kind of a hard thing to do. But this, I guess it's a skill set. I mean, we all can do it, but because I have children of my own.
Yes.
So being able to redirect them and get them to be on task and make the workout fun. I guess it's my forte. I'm not gonna say my forte, but I'm pretty good at it here. Being able to command a group of kids of upwards to, you know, 16 by myself in one class, I can run that efficiently.
You feel like you got the experience to do it best?
Not do it best, but, you know, I've worked at the juvenile in Marion County.
Okay.
I've also done a little substitute teaching. I've worked at the Boys and Girls Club. So, and alongside of my children, just kind of being able to have the patience. That's really all it takes.
I get that.
The patience to talk to the children in a manner to which they're not flustered. I guess I'm pretty good.
So when you're working with the kids here, what is some of the main things you are running through, like training them on? Are you doing speed agility drills, doing footwork, how to improve their hand-eye coordination, those type of things?
Every day we work on our explosiveness, our speed development, and our change of direction. So that's really important. So either it's a linear day where we go forward and backwards for the change of direction and explosion, or it's lateral movements.
Okay.
In the strength development that it takes to move laterally well. So with the children, if they're not 14 or over, they don't touch weights over 5 pounds.
Oh, really?
Right. So even the youngsters might, if they're coordinated enough, may use a 5-pound dumbbell, but mainly they're using resistance bands so they can get the fundamentals and the movement down, so when they get older, then they'll have the function to enough to use weights at an earlier age.
Okay.
So, you know, we run into a lot of kids who have not been taught the proper techniques, you know what I'm saying? By the time they get in high school and it's time to compete at a varsity level, they have to be broken down and taught from the ground up, or they are running to injuries and, you know, grow in an imbalanced, you know.
I get that. Was that something that was, really taught to you or expanded upon with you from your time here? Or did you learn a lot of that stuff before you got here through over the years?
So I put a quote on Facebook today, which says, a good student learns from every experience. So I try to learn daily and pull from every experience. But I did learn a lot of my base in fitness throughout my different sports that I've played over the years, my constant self-research and trying to just get better at it. But Brian is a great teacher and mentor as far as becoming a better coach. But as you can recall, when we were at Warren, just under one semester under Coach Clark's guys, we started breaking state records and then national records as far as the clubs, as far as the people that we had in them.
And let's really go back and talk about the time of when he was there and what it was like for you guys. And it's hard to, you know, go back a decade or longer and stuff like that. But, you know, he and I were talking about the club stuff like that. Did you guys feel a lot of pressure from him or everything like that to try to, you know, you have to be in this club, you have to be here, or was it just more natural, hey, we're going to get you guys where you're going to be, and then doing so, you guys are going to gradually be in this club to where you need to be at?
I'll speak on that. I mean, coming in as a freshman, I didn't get to experience, you know, Coach Wright. I didn't get to experience, you know, just the hands-on-ness of what he did, what he brought. So Coach Clark was there, and he, you know, he was right there hand-in-hand with Coach Wright with, you know, building that
everything, yeah,
and building that type of prestige in there. So for me, I know personally, coming in as a freshman, you know, you see all these guys, you see the Darren Evans, you see the Jewel Hamptons, you see the Jeremy Finches, and well, not even Jeremy, because Jeremy wasn't the weight room guy, but you see all that, and you see how hard they work in the weight room, you know, and it makes you push yourself that hard. And then just the structure of how he did it. It was kind of like we were at a junior college as a 14-year-old kid. You know what I'm saying? He made you pay attention to that card system. He made you want to push your weight. He made you want to be in that 200-pound bench press club. And it was more so like, you know, we competed at that level. You know what I'm saying? We tried to compete with each other in the weight room. And it was more so him giving us the program, but it was a lot of us that just wanted to just compete with each other and, you know, get better in that. And it's hard to find that, especially at a young age at that level.
I believe it. I believe it. Now that I think about it, when I talk about, you know, the clubs and everything, both you guys played over a decade ago, and I believe I think at least two of you guys' records are still up there on the strength conditioning boards in the weight room. That's incredible, man.
Yeah. Three of my records are still up there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was still holding on to that the 170 pound bench press record. Shakir got me, but if it was anybody, I was cool that it was him.
That's real.
Before that, it was Reggie Jordan in the class, and
yes,
Reggie was really huge, the person. Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't think he knows this, but he's the person that inspired me more to be muscle bound as possible, because we both
wrestled,
we both played ball, and I was just like, I want to be. I thought that was the standard of what varsity athletes of any caliber at Warren looked like. So it was a culture thing. Mm-hmm. Going back to your question, Coach Clark didn't make us. He didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. I think more that he was gifted some type of athletes that was just like, I mean, we went, you know, we worked out early in the morning, after school, if it was out of season, and then we went home, you know, you can have, there's stories of, you know, with Mama Sheila in that game, we would, me, Jewel, Anthony Weather, you know, we would do the push-up game with a deck of cards, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, in our free time, we're doing who can tap out. Every suit had a different value of push-ups,
okay,
style of push-up, and after that, we would take a protein shake or something like that, just so we could be up to par.
It's interesting you say that, you know, you guys pushing each other and making sure each other is stronger. I really truly believe for a 3-year span there from 05, 08, you know, we were one of the strongest teams in the nation.
No doubt.
I mean, and you know, that oftentimes led to us having huge, huge wins in games and stuff like that, to where normally, you know, you want to condition yourself to be better than your opponent in the fourth quarter, but we were so well conditioned and so strong and so much bigger and faster than guys that we were basically beating guys as soon as we stepped off the bus. As soon as they stepped on the field with us, they were beaten. Like, did you guys feel that way at all times when you guys were with the program during that time?
Legit, that's one of my most favorite nostalgic memories. My, you know, first varsity game that I get to, you know, dress and go on the bus with the guys, going, I think it was at Prairie Meridian or Franklin at that time, was always, you know, that first game. We got off the bus, the student section right there, you know, outside in the parking lot, total, they were in awe of us getting off the bus, and it made me feel empowered that they were giving us respect as visitors coming in, like, oh, these guys are huge. I felt like a movie star in a way. And so, like, our competition wasn't on game day. Our biggest competition was throughout the week in practice.
I believe it.
For real.
I believe
it.
And that just speaks on like just the nostalgia of how we carried ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so crazy because, like I said, my senior class was the last class to experience, even get a taste of what that 4-peat
was, yeah.
What that was, you know, we weren't in the thick of it, but you know, we got to move up and we got to be the testing dummies for Darren and all those guys. So, like, just seeing that and just like holding yourself to that type of level is just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, and that's kind of one thing that, you know, plays on the psyche of just an Eastside athlete. You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of taken away from them now, more so the fact that you don't get to get your name shout out before you come out the tunnel. You don't get to wear your name on the back of your jersey. And for a kid that, you know, you may have to go home and your mom got to work at nights so you don't get that love and attention at home.
When you come home.
You know what I'm saying? You probably don't have a father in your household. You probably don't, you know what I'm saying? We live in that type of atmosphere on the East Side. So you relish those moments to get that type of notoriety for being a Warren Central football player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a badge of honor to get a red belt. You know what I'm saying? That's why they brought the gold belts.
Yeah.
Because, shoot, we wanted to be like, hey, I'm a starter at Warren. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was something that was held to a pristine at that type back then in those days. And like I said, like, for a lot of us, we don't get those type of things being East Side kids and just the economics of where we live at, how we live. You know, you look forward to just being one of those type of guys and even getting a jersey. And that's what kind of drove a lot of us to be as great as we were.
And definitely you guys have showed that, you know, the lessons that you learned on the East Side and at playing at our program has driven you to a lot of great things and sees where we at now. And Shakir, you have just started your own, I want to say, training program, RBU, Running Back University. Tell me more about that and your goals and everything you're trying to accomplish there.
Absolutely. So Running Back University is a curriculum that I created that's based for all ball carriers. It's called Running Back University, but it's for every ball carrier, slot receivers, wide receivers, running backs, guys that just want to carry the ball and carry it efficiently.
You can put some tight ends in there, probably.
I could throw some tight ends in there. Okay. I leave that to my homeboy Malcolm. He got his thing called Dog School
for
O linemen, D linemen, tight ends. You know what I'm saying? But the curriculum of Running Back University breaks down everything that it takes to be a successful running back at every level. We break down blocking, we break down ball handling, we break down speed moves, power moves, gap recognition, vision, being able to see where you're trying to get to and, you know, execute those moves. And I'm reaching out to all type of backs. I got backs that come from Kokomo, Indiana, Fort Wayne, Danville. I even got some Ben Davis guys in my.
Oh.
Yeah. You know.
I even don't make them too good now.
BD guys in the camp. But RBU isn't just about making you a better athlete on the field. I started a company called Build Educate Compete, which is a mentoring program that basically teach you everything that you're supposed to learn about football outside of the field. We talk about credit, we talk about debt, we talk about loans whenever you start making that type of money. We even talk about everything that comes with being an athlete. We talk about, you know, dealing with injuries. We talk about dealing with, you know, coaches and, you know what I'm saying, having to play the game with coaches, having to get the grades.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about everything that it takes outside of football as well as on the field. So Running Back University is definitely something that's right now we're in the works of getting the second semester going. Hopefully we're aiming for around that June 1st type date.
Okay.
But it's definitely something that's, you know, beneficial not only for boys on the field, but for young men off the field. Because my goal is to get rid of that league or bust mentality. Because my thinking is, as much effort as you're putting into going to the league, you're putting just as much effort to being a bust. And, you know, that type of mentality is killing a lot of our young men because we're going to college thinking, all right, I got to go to college to get to the pros. But I don't care if you're a practice roster player or if you're a Hall of Famer, football ends for everybody.
Yes,
so teaching these young men what to do outside of football is just as rewarding as getting them those games on the field.
Which I think is good because a lot of guys, you know, they struggle after their playing time is over, good, bad, or, you know, indifferent. You know, like you said, everything comes to an end eventually. Like Drew Brees just retired. I mean, a long, very long career, but, you know, it comes to an end. Tom Brady, you know, he's year 21, but, you know, yeah, those years are going to come down eventually. So it is, those are two extremes, but you can have a guy that lasts a season in the NFL and just be done after that. he reaches his goal. He played and, you know, he wants to figure out what's next in life. And so I think what you're trying to teach there to athletes is that, you know, you can train and be as prepared as this as you possibly want, but what's your fallback? Absolutely. And then if you reach that goal, then what's next?
Absolutely. And it's not, I don't even look at it as a fallback. I look at it as a plan A, a plan 1A and a plan 1B.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I really wish I would have gotten to more of the production side of stuff whenever I got into college. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Even I wasn't even getting my degree in exercise science, but now I feel like I'm one of the best trainers there is because, one, I've been through it. I came out of high school squatting 505, benching 335.
Wow.
Came out of college benching 375, squatting over 600 pounds. So I can actually tell people I've been through that. You know what I'm saying? I put my body through those type of ringers. You know what I'm saying? I know 10 different workouts for every part of your body. I know how to strengthen your grip, strengthen your hand muscles. Whenever I talk about ball carrying, I break down the five toolages of carrying the ball efficiently: fingertip grip, your palm grip, your forearm grip, your bicep, and your chest. So we build up all of those things. So, you know, just breaking down what it is make you as great as you want to be.
When you look at a running back, either this name, say pro, a guy that's high school level or a guy that's, you know, trying to make a breakthrough at the college level, mm-hmm. what all do you see from them? Like, okay, this is what you need to do better. Like, do you study the game a lot differently now than what you used to?
Absolutely. I mean, having the experience of playing professionally in the CFL and then even having the opportunities with the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Ravens, you know what I'm saying? It's like I learned so much more watching film, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of where the game changes at the college level. You have to be on the field. You have to be in the film room, totally different. I always tell my athletes, in high school, you need to know what you're doing on the field. In college, you need to know what your teammates are doing on the field. In the pros, you need to know what the other team is doing on the field, as well as knowing what you do, knowing what your teammates do, and knowing what they do. Because then the game slows down because it's always continuously at each level, gets harder, gets faster, things get stronger. So when I look at evaluating a running back, I first try to identify what they do, what makes them great.
Okay.
You know, what is it that you say makes you amazing? Are you a guy that can break any tackles? Are you a guy that can pull away from people? Are you a shifty guy? In that field, I figure out what makes you amazing, and we keep expanding on that. And then I figure out what you don't do as well. Are you not a good blocker? Do you not know your plays? Do you not know how to read vision? I mean, you not know how to read gaps? And then we start
going from there.
Those things. So that's what I look at to make a running back as great as they are.
That's incredible, man. I love hearing that. And you say you do a semester. So, like, how long is a semester training session for you and your program here?
So this first semester we did 7 weeks for 2 times a week.
Okay.
So all of my guys got 14 workouts.
Which is that? I mean,
that's
pretty good.
Yeah. No. And it's crazy. I did an interview with Wish TV 8 with my boy Tevin Stutter, and I brought a few of my boys in there. And I be thinking that, you know, they just be trying to hype my head up and tell me that they're doing great or that they love what they're doing. But what was amazing about that, I mean, doing that interview, was I had a parent that was sitting there listening to all of the boys talk about their experience. And at the end, he just volunteered to give his experience as a parent
watching
his son, you know, transform his game. And that's one thing that I always want to harp on. Even the parents, you know, look at what your kid is doing. Look at the effort that they're putting in. Look at the time that they're putting into it, and see if it's actually something that, you know, they can be great at. And the parents and my boys just all did an amazing job with this first semester, and it made me great. It made me feel great. So if you get an opportunity, go to my website, Running Back University. Check out some of the work that my boys are doing. Check out some of the gear that they're getting. And you know, if you have a nephew, a cousin, mm-hmm. a little brother that has aspirations of being a great running back, come to D1 Finch Creek and get some of this work.
How many people did you have in your first training session, first training semester that you put through?
I did. I had two different classes. I had a 5th through 8th grade class, and I had a 9th through 12th grade class. I wanted to keep it as little as possible because I wanted everybody to get their personal work. Even though we're in a group setting, I wanted you to feel like I was personally working out with you. Okay. Great. So I had 9 in my 9th through 12th grade class, and I had 6 in my 5th through 8th grade class. Next semester, I'm looking at getting those numbers around 12 to 15 per class.
So limited training space right. Absolutely. Here. If you want to be trained by one of the best to come through Indiana high school football in the last decade or so, man, this guy right here, Shakir Bell, is definitely got the option for you. And tomorrow here, with you and, like you said, you're the kid whisperer here, and you've been mainly training younger athletes here. What has been another complication for you when it comes to training athletes, or what have you found that has been easier for you to help, you know, get these guys where they want to be at?
Okay, well, I train young kids, high school athletes, adults.
Okay, so you do a lot more. Okay, I was thinking that you were mainly, okay, we got a group of kids coming here, we're throwing them in tomorrow.
We'll teach a kid class at least a day. I just seem to gravitate more towards the kids.
Got it.
So I have two classes. Yeah. I have two classes a day for Devo, and then a prep class every day, or a Devo and then a rookie class. Okay. I help with the high schoolers. Just one of the hardest things is knowing everybody has a different style of learning. So everybody might not be able to just be that visual person that can see you do it. They might need an audio cue, mm-hmm. or, you know, need you to break it down because they're more of an analytical type of thinker. And so when it comes to training, it's being able just to find out everybody's needs and what's the best way for them to accomplish it. One of the easier things that I've been able to do is be able to translate my philosophy into my training. So, you know, in a perfect world, I would want to be a preacher, a teacher, a lawyer, a coach, and, mm-hmm. and all these different things. This seems to be the field and where I can incorporate all of them, because personally, my philosophy is, you know, wellness is a triangle type of deal where it's mental, emotional, and physical.
Yes.
To be totally well. And so wherever you start at, you know, here we're going to work on the physical, right? You think mm-hmm. outward, this is a gym, I'm going to get my physical down. But to be physically fit and to accomplish new goals and levels in your fitness life, you have to be mentally prepared to push yourself to a point where you're like, okay, I'm tired. I don't think I can do anymore. This weight is too much for me. You have to mentally be strong to be like, you know what? No, I got this. And then once you do achieve something that you don't think that you can, or you push yourself through a hard phase, that makes you happy in a way, you feel accomplished. And so now emotionally, you are becoming well because you are proud of yourself, or you're in a happy state.
Ah, okay.
So the physical then affects the mental, which affects the emotional, and then makes a person well. You know what I'm saying?
Do you, like, when you're going through all that, and you finally see a guy click, mm-hmm. what does that for you?
It makes me proud, as if this person has been my friend, my family member, my child. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love to see people win. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, you know, of course, I hate to lose. You know what I'm saying? But I find gems even in the loss. You know what I'm saying? And as a human, I could be like, if a guy balled out on the other side, like, he did his thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, low key, I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
So as a trainer, I love to see people progressing and getting better. So it's a reward within itself. So I'll do a lot of these things. I'll go over class time, you know, on the side, on the out. Sometimes if I'm in the gym and somebody's asking, we'll work out together, you know what I'm saying? Or I'll give people, you know, extra time when I'm not in here just to work out because I just find enjoyment in it.
I love it. I love it. Well, Tamario, I appreciate it. I know you got a busy day ahead of you here. Shakira's already stepped out, probably with another client right now. But I appreciate you guys, everything. Man, this facility is incredible out here, man.
I appreciate it.
And it's D1 Finch Creek for everybody that's out here listening. Noblesville, I'll to put the address in here at a later time. But, man, this place is incredible. I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck, man. True. If I wish I was an athlete. If I had an athletic bone in my body, I would be out here, man.
Check KIW. Don't need to be an athlete,
man.
Baby.
Look, if I come out here, man, I'll hurt myself.
No, you won't. We're going to make sure you're good. We got modifications for every single workout. So we got people that are 70 years old. Yes. We have I think her name is Becky Hampton. Becky Hampton is a relative. I think she is the wife, actually, of Mr. Will Hampton. That was a Wish TV anchor for a long time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she's in here. The whole family comes in. Her, Will, the children. And Becky's, I don't want to say her age. I don't even know, and I don't want to guess the wrong age. But Becky is a woman who will tell you she's probably older than everybody that comes in here. But Becky has times faster than some of the people in their 30s.
That's incredible, so, man. Incredible.
Everybody can get it.
It's a great staff you guys got out here. Coach Clark's running a great thing. I'm so glad he's given you guys opportunity to, you know, chase a dream of, you know, helping others. And like you said, you want to be a great coach, a teacher, and you're doing that right now, man. So I'm sure a lot of these guys are very appreciative. I'm appreciative of seeing you out here helping others, man. Just so glad for seeing our guys, man, because you know how it is. You know, on the east side, they don't give us very many opportunities to succeed. So when we get an opportunity, we got to grab it and take it and run with it, man.
Most definitely, brother. You know, we're either super successful at being productive, or it seems like it's the latter. They're super successful at being bad.
It's definitely going to be on one end of the spectrum or the other, man. So definitely great. Very happy to see you, man. Glad to have it. First time on the show, too. We got to have it again. Talk some more football and stuff, man.
Football, philosophy, current events, whatever, brother.
Life.
I'm down for it all.
I love it. I love it. Tamario Morris and the great Shakira Bell, man. Appreciate you guys coming on. What a great, great show that was. Thank you again to Coach Clark, Shakira Bell, and Tamario Morris, man. Those guys right there are some truly, truly great individuals, guys I have a lot of respect for. I love seeing what they are doing out there for other athletes like themselves, especially Tamario and Shakira, and love to see Coach Clark again and seeing the vision that he's had for his program really evolve to what it has become today. And I can see he has a lot of plans coming up for that program in the near future. He's doing some real breakthrough stuff there. Some things I had never thought of would be possible in the field, but he's doing it and doing a great job at it. So if you're listening to this and you are an athlete that's wanting to better yourself, definitely reach out to the individuals there. They'll work with you. They're a little bit more pricier than going to your normal LA Fitness, Planet Fitness, you know, your normal gym. But what you're going to get from going to a place like that is you really cannot put a price tag on it. They also will work with you in making it financially beneficial with you. You just got to go out there, talk with them, see what's available to them. I love what Shakir is doing with his RBU. He's doing some great things there. He'll definitely work with you in his training program as well, like that. So definitely reach out to them. I'll be providing links to all their programs and stuff in the description for this podcast, as well as online, and I'm going to be posting some videos of what they do, a lot of their training stuff as well. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I also have one other announcement. Our great friend, Chris Price. Coach Price was recently named head coach of Madisonville
North Hopkins High School in Kentucky. Very, very happy for him. You know, anytime one of our guys, a former Warren athlete, a Warrior great, like I said, I believe he was like number top 15, top 20, I want to say, when I did my True Warrior Football top 50 list a couple years ago. Definitely one of the all-time greats at his position of offensive line. Just very happy for him. He's done a lot of great work for his family and the kids down there. He's been coaching now for, oh man, he's been down in Kentucky, I believe, for at least a decade now and done some really great things. So I'm very happy for him and everything that has come to him, and hopefully look to speak to him about his new gig and how he's ready to take on that challenge. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, you have just listened to another great episode of True Warrior Football. I'm your host, Corey D. K. Smith. Warrior Band, take us away.